from the birthplace of radio's greatest era. Now, from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Unlike anything else on radio today, it's a front row seat for great information with today's leading experts. The Millionaire Maker, Hillary Kramer, Travel with Valerie Delia, Nicole Sapphire, MD, Senior Medical Contributor to Fox News Channel, and Physician at Memorial Sloan Kettering Medical Center. Legal expertise by Arthur Idala, Attorney to the Stars, and Christine Nicholas, the quintessential heartbeat of New York hospitality. All joining legendary broadcast pro Kevin McCullough on a mission unlike any other, united to bring back New York. And now, live from Studio 111, here's Kevin McCullough.
All right, welcome to Wednesday. It is Wellness Night, and we couldn't be happier than to have you with us at Radio Night Live. Phone lines are open, 877-970-2999, and you can also send me emails at kmcradio@gmail.com. On Wednesdays, we're joined with the new best-selling author. She's the second time she's a best-selling author, Dr. Nicole Sapphire. Hello, Nicole. Good to see you.
Well, thanks for having me, but let's not jinx me. Bestseller lists aren't out yet. We don't know.
I'm saying this in complete faith, Dr. Sapphire. I have no doubt. And I'll just say this. You know, when your first one came out, I as a, you know, fairly successful talk show host in my own industry, I never had you on for your first one, and you made the bestsellers list. I'm going to be confident that you're going to be right in the pack when the first reports come out. But anyway, it's been a busy time. You've been everywhere.
Well, thank you so much. And it certainly has been busy. But you know what? Busy's good. It keeps your body and mind flowing.
Beats the alternative, that's for sure. Well, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this conversation this evening, Dr. Sapphire, because your book couldn't be more well-timed. Specifically, and let's just jump into the controversy right away. It appears now, according to multiple reports and what people are being kind of forced to admit, that this Wuhan virus came from a laboratory, and that this was this suspicion all along. But now it seems as though that's been more or less pointed to be the way that it happened. Your thoughts as we're now learning that?
Well, you know, it is quite ironic, seeing as I have an entire chapter in my book dedicated to the plausible origin theories, including coming from that lab. And I took a very deep dive into it. In fact, I even looked at the genetic sequencing of the virus itself. And, you know, there were a lot of strange coincidences and occurrences. The fact that the outbreak happened about 10 miles away from the biggest coronavirus researching lab in the world, especially one that has published on a coronavirus the most genetically similar to SARS-CoV-2, the one that causes COVID-19. And the same laboratory has published research on doing gene editing or putting in mutations into that sequence to test its virulence. And some of those mutations are in the current virus. Now, that's not to say definitively that this virus came from the lab. In fact, you know, the natural spillover, natural evolution can cause those same mutations. But the big problem I had was early on that there were a lot of coincidences. And so for people to just tunnel vision, say, no, it's only natural spillover, that's the only thing that could possibly happen. And anyone who even wanted to ask questions about the Wuhan lab, they were deemed anti-science and wrong. And I can tell you, when I late spring, early summer was asked about the origin theories, I said, you know, I don't think anything nefarious happened, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was a lab accident, a lab leak. It certainly wouldn't be the first time in our world's history that that happened and it resulted in an epidemic. Yeah. But so I questioned that. And then I had a lot of media outlets saying she's wrong. She's been debunked by experts and promoting conspiracy theories. It's like, okay. Are you going to retract those comments?
Exactly. Well, and let's talk about that for a second, because there's a lot of debate. I mean, obviously, we talked about what Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci got into in their last tete-a-tete about a week ago. But these gain of function exercises and the research that goes into kind of creating super viruses so that we can figure out how to fight them. I don't know how I feel about that. I think that there's probably scientific good to it, because I guess we want to be able to smack them down if something bad comes about. But Dr. Sapphire, doesn't this type of accident, even if it is not nefarious, but turns out to be some sort of accidental exposure, you know, we're talking millions of people that died, you know, worldwide because of that. Should we be playing God with these viruses in this way?
Well, you know, it's interesting. So I guess what you could do is you can look back retrospectively and see what has come from gain of function research.
Okay,
and
that's fair.
You know, some of the greatest innovations, I would say, did not. And I can't actually name one that did. And I think scientists, we get experimental. We get curious. We want to see what's going to happen. But that's not where our best treatments and vaccines have even come from. And I mean, look what happened with the mRNA vaccines this year. Yes, yeah. there had been decades of research on vaccines and even mRNA technology, but it was the rate limiting step of the funding that really pushed it forward. It isn't the fact that they had been doing gain of function research on this virus, because that didn't help us at all, to be honest. They were, let's say that a natural spillover occurred. Well, this lab was specifically looking at a coronavirus with very similar mutations that would have the same effect as the one that did. How did that help us? How did their over a decade worth of published research on those viruses actually help us? They didn't. We got everything wrong. We said, wipe down your packages. This isn't aerosolized. Yes, it is aerosolized. Don't wear a mask. Wear a mask. And we still don't even have a silver bullet treatment for it. I mean, thank goodness Operation Warp Speed put forth the billions of dollars that got us the vaccines, or else we wouldn't be where we are right now.
Right. Well, and even where we are right now, Dr. Sapphire, after last week's show, and we did a deep dive on the different areas of your book. And friends, I do want you to help make Dr. Sapphire a wildly successful best-selling author this week. If you haven't gotten Panic Attack, go get your copy. But I was talking with my bride, who has regular conversations with two or three other moms that are in the area, and one of them was grotesquely harmed by vaccines when she was a young girl, and so she's always had some reticence to it. But the kind of increasing numbers of women that are having trouble with some of the mRNA reaction as it pertains to their womanly cycles specifically, is this a statistically large enough problem that we really do need to be on the offense to try to solve that? Or is it so small of a sample of all the people that have been vaccinated that it's not that big of a deal, and we can kind of just know what it is and treat it with whatever we're currently doing? I'm unfamiliar with it, so I'd like to know your thoughts on that. And she did too. She wanted me to ask you specifically.
Well, Kevin, I can tell you, first of all, the fertility issue, people, there have been reports of people missing their menstrual cycle. I don't have any reliable data showing that that is caused by the vaccine. And just on my own knowledge of physiology and immunology, I cannot fathom how that actually could, to be honest.
Okay.
And so, I mean, I don't give a lot of credence to the fertility issue concern when it comes to these vaccines. Because what's being injected with the mRNA vaccines is a protein. It's not being inserted into your DNA. Your cell just reads it and produces a spike protein. And then your body has a reaction to it. There is no insertion. And I know that mRNA being inserted into DNA has been a concern. And while, you know, they can't say for 100% certainty that in 20 years that there won't be some long-term effect, again, this genetic sequence that is in the vaccine is degraded within a matter of hours to days.
We'll come right back and pick up the Dr. Nicole Sapphire. It's Kevin McCullough. It's Radio Night Live. Stay with us.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Dear Cancer, if you think you're going to put my life on hold, think again. I did my homework, and I found a cancer treatment option that requires no surgery, minimal downtime, and virtually no side effects. It's called proton therapy at ProCure Proton Therapy Center. Proton therapy targets cancer tumors more precisely than traditional radiation therapy, with less radiation to nearby healthy tissues. And thanks to ProCure, I don't have to travel far for treatment. Located in Somerset, ProCure is New Jersey's most experienced proton therapy center, offering the most advanced form of radiation with the most precise technology. That's right, Cancer. I still have the choice and energy to go on that hike with friends or spend a Saturday afternoon with my grandkids. I chose proton therapy at ProCure, and now my hope has been restored. I'm living my best life. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, visit Procure.com or call 855-3-PROTON today.
Hi, Kevin McCullough, and every week I promise you that you're going to get a real-life question answered by the real-life Mike Connors, who's real-life with us right now. And Mike, this week's question comes from Janet. She says, my aunt always promised me that when she died, I would get her silver tea set. My aunt died, and I asked my cousin about the set, and she said she knows nothing about this. What can I do, Mike Connors?
Well, unfortunately, absolutely nothing, unless it's in writing. For instance, in the will, I leave the tea set to my niece. There's nothing you can do. These things have to be in writing. You know, oral promises are not enforceable in court.
And that makes these types of things very uncomfortable, because now you have two family members that are at odds over what the real direction of the tea set should be.
Right. Well, if it's not in writing, it's not there.
Is it appropriate? Is it proper for someone like Janet to maybe discuss with her aunt ahead of time to say, hey, if you really want to make sure that me and the kids get that, have you put this in your will?
You do a deed of gift. You can do other things, but it has to be in writing. And I mean, oral promises. Otherwise, if courts were listening to oral promises, every single estate would be in court because, yeah, my aunt told me she was going to give me this. My aunt told me she was going to give me that and so forth. It's got to be in writing. You know, it's just the way the world is.
If you are an aunt willing a tea set to somebody today, the moral of this story is make sure you get that in the will and don't make your niece figure it out after you're gone. By the way, if you've got a question about something even more complicated than this, feel free to call Connors and Sullivan. They are standing by ready to assist you in your estate law and elder care items that you're dealing with. The biggest failure is to fail to plan. So plan properly, and they can help you do that. You can also send them your questions at askmikeconnors@gmail.com, and he'll answer them here on Kevin McCullough, also on his broadcast on Saturday mornings at 8 on AM 570 and FM 102.3 WMCA, and Sunday mornings starting at 11 on AM 970, The Answer. Mike Connors, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
Listen to AM 970, The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Ben Shapiro explains what Israel is dealing with.
Okay, so the United States basically reopened the door. The Trump administration said no. We are making very clear who our allies are here, and if you engage in terror, the money ain't coming your way. And things were calm, and things were quiet. And then the Biden administration came in, and within months, you have this massive conflagration, which is now on the verge of all-out war. And the reason it's on the verge of all-out war is because Israel literally has millions of its citizens now living underground.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weeknights at 5 and 9 on AM 970, The Answer. Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, am970theanswer.com.
You can't sleep, you can't eat, there's no doubt you're in deep.
Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Another kiss. So honored to have Dr. Nicole Sapphire with us tonight, and I'm so excited for the release of her book. We've been talking about it in our conversations on air, and it is finally here. Drops on the Street. You can get that at your local favorite bookseller. You can also order it online. And if you want a signed copy, they've got them available at Premier Collectibles. And I'm sure that Dr. Sapphire will be letting us know when and where we can go and have her sign a copy, at least in the New York area, which she's got some events coming up from time to time as well. We'll ask her about that. But my colleague in talk radio, and I'm sorry, Dr. Sapphire, I really am. I apologize that Brian Kilmeade was the best you could get to represent the talk radio industry. And please tell him I said that when you see him next. But he says, and I'm joking, for those of you that don't know, Brian and I are buddies. We go way back. In Panic Attack, Dr. Sapphire follows the science, not fear, takes out the politics, and brings some reality to this once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. It's a must-read for people who want to lead their life smartly but boldly. And I couldn't agree with Brian Moore on that point. Dr. Sapphire, we were talking about hydroxychloroquine, and there were a couple of things. You mentioned Dr. Fauci. And I remember at the time there were a couple of things that were interesting about Dr. Fauci and hydroxychloroquine. One was, in the research for SARS and COVID viruses in the past, the National Institutes of Health that he has overseen for some period of time and was overseeing it at the time actually had recommended hydroxychloroquine as a potential therapeutic for past COVID viruses, no?
To be honest, the antiviral effects of hydroxychloroquine have been proven. I mean, that is not in question. That was never in question because they're known. They've been known for a long time. It's just whether or not they worked against the specific coronavirus SARS-CoV-2. And unfortunately, what was happening was, you were mentioning that, you know, a lot of people were kind of just using it because, you know, we heard that it was being used elsewhere. A study came out of China right away. It was observational, so of course it can be criticized, but it was showing that the people being hospitalized with COVID-19 tended not to be the ones who were also being seen by the rheumatology clinic on hydroxychloroquine. So they put an association there that it may be protective. Now, again, it may be protective, but because it wasn't that large randomized control trial that Dr. Fauci oh so loves, it was heavily criticized. But here's the problem with that. And here's the criticism of Dr. Fauci. Mind you, he's a very respectable individual, very smart, worked for in many administrations for decades. But the problem is, he's a scientific purist. And he sometimes that can be far too rigid. And while it's wonderful when you're doing research, the kind of long, laborious research that really we need for science, that is not what we need during times of crisis. That old guard medical establishment and really got in the way of us being able to make decisions on the fly. And that's why I think retrospectively, you know, he's criticized a lot. He wasn't able to really evolve with his opinions as new data was coming forward, because he kept saying that he needed to wait for those big studies. And unfortunately, time was of the essence. People were dying every day. Thousands of people were dying every day.
Right.
And, you know, you mentioned the NIH and, you know, something else that I really go into in the book, which can be seen as very controversial. It itself is an entire chapter, because it's worthy of a chapter, is exploring the origin of the virus. Because people keep talking about it, you know, did it arise from bats in caves? And then it, you know, went through an intermediate host, then it went to humans. But you can't deny the coincidence that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is about 10 miles away from where the outbreak began. And there has been years of data showing that they're working with the very similar virus. And they were doing mutations to the virus to see if they can increase its virulence. Very similar mutations that are in the circulating virus. So I investigate that. I talk to some virologists and, you know, I talk about possibilities. What's possible? What's probable? And, you know, what are some things that they didn't necessarily want you to know? And yes, the NIH has funded some of this research. And so for Dr. Fauci to sit and argue with Senator Paul a couple weeks ago about it, I mean, the truth is, yes, that, you know, the lines may have been crossed, but, you know, gain of function research in itself is not bad. You know, I mean, yes, it's controversial, but, you know, it's necessary for certain things in science. But to deny its existence or that they were involved in its existence, well, I don't think that that's being wholly transparent.
Well, and that speaks to part of the big problem here, right? So we're trying to manage information based on how it's going to make things look, as opposed to how it truly affects the scenario. And if you're talking about medical pandemic and deaths of hundreds of thousands of people, we need to know, we need to know the truth. Good, bad, dirty, indifferent. We need to know, is this actually going to work or not? And did we do these things? And if there were mistakes made, I know that we're in like the uber litigious world that we live in. But I, to your point, I don't think it does us any good for Dr. Fauci to pretend as though these things don't happen. To say that they happen and explain why they happen. And if it, and, you know, allow us to process what that means. I think we're big enough people, Dr. Sapphire, to be able to handle the truth. It's sometimes I get very worried that politicians believe that we can't, that they have to somehow prepackage it for us so that we can be, you know, somewhat, you know, nullified and go about our business, you know, kind of in a dazed state, if you will.
This is the exact reason I wrote this book. I think Americans deserve to know the truth. I think Americans deserve to make their own informed opinions. I don't think that we should be swayed by the media, because the media continues to distort the science to fit certain narratives, and politicians are doing the same thing. That was the entire impetus behind writing this book. I gave all the facts. It is not partisan whatsoever. I talk about the pros and cons of all of the issues that became controversial. If you have those facts, then you can put together your own informed opinions.
Right.
And you're not having to be swayed by other people who really just want you to, you know, jump on their bandwagon.
Yeah. Friends, we're talking about the brand new book, Panic Attack. I got mine today. In fact, just minutes before we sat down to do tonight's show, It was waiting for me in a delivery on my front door stoop, and I was so thankful to get it. And I look forward to delving into it for myself personally in the days to come. It's subtitled Playing Politics with Science in the Fight Against COVID-19. The title is Panic Attack. Nicole Sapphire, MD, is its author. And I want you to go get a copy, and I want you to arm yourself with the information. We talk about this all the time, right? If you want to live a life that is based on clarity, you have to understand what the facts are. But understanding facts outside of context doesn't really help. So you need to know what the facts are, what they mean, and why they matter. And if you put those three things together, you gain clarity. That helps you, and that's why we're here. Anyway, go to Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, get your favorite bookseller to give you a copy. Get it tonight. It's Radio Night Live. Coming right back.
Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, personally fit me for my very own MyPillow, and I haven't stopped raving about them since. They won't go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. And every MyPillow is made in the USA. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for $29.98, regularly $69.98. That's a $40 savings. Kings are only $5 more. Now is the time to buy $29.98 for a standard queen premium. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. Use the promo code AM970. You'll find this amazing offer and deep discounts on all MyPillow products. The Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 800-651-0798. That's 800-651-0798. 800-651-0798. Use the promo code AM970.
For many Americans, Father's Day is a day to celebrate. For many others, it's a day to get through, because Father's Day hurts if you don't have a father. The facts are clear. Fatherlessness drives many bad outcomes in America, from teen pregnancy to incarceration. An astounding 85% of youths in prison come from fatherless homes, 20 times the national average. But there's a path forward from the grim statistics, which is why I urge you to order a powerful new film called The Streets Were My Father. It features the journey of three inner-city Chicago men, from fatherlessness to gangs and from life in prison to prison ministry programs that set them on the road to redemption and lives as productive members of society. To see this important and inspirational film, the streaming version, and DVDs, go to salemnow.com and buy a copy or copies for anyone you know who doesn't have a father or doesn't believe in the power of God to change lives. Go to salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com.
Listen to AM970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
The Ben Shapiro Show, weekdays at 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. on AM970 The Answer.
And now, back to Radio Night Live from New York. Here's Kevin McCullough.
World's greatest city, and until November something, we don't see sunset or evening until after this show is done. So I'm kind of excited about that. I hope you'll stick around. The city's coming back to life. Restaurants are coming back to life. And here every weeknight, we try to do what we can to encourage and inform you to embrace that, particularly here in New York City. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire is our expert on Wednesdays, and we're really here to talk about all things related to health and wellness. But COVID has just been such the dominant story, as it has been even in the news cycle. We find ourselves inundated with information there. And Dr. Sapphire, to that point, I was a little bit surprised to see a headline from The Guardian, the other British newspaper, not the Daily Mail, but the Guardian. And the headline said this: COVID pandemic was preventable, says WHO commissioned report. Now, I'm sure that if you get, you know, really sassy, you could say, well, yeah, if the virus had never gotten out of whatever place it was at, that would have been preventable. But I think what they're delving into here is that the response kind of globally was what messed us all up. And I'm just curious as to your thoughts about, even as India is now facing a really discouraging development, where we are as it pertains to what could have been prevented and can be prevented if there is another next time.
You know, I love the clickability that journals will put on their articles just to get people to click to see what that's all about. Oh, the coronavirus pandemic could have been prevented, says the World Health Organization. Yeah, people are going to click that and say, who's to blame?
Because that's right. what we like to do. Wrong.
You know, you have to really go from, you know, the very beginning when you talk about, you know, how things could have been better. Well, first and foremost, there was a lot of missteps that China had already had a notification system to start alerting them in cases such as this. Unfortunately, they weren't utilizing it. And as we know that on whistleblower accounts, a lot of the information was being suppressed. And for the rest of the world, the reason the rest of the world, other than Taiwan, essentially, and a few bordering countries did okay is because they had already dealt with the mainland China when it came to crisis before, and they knew that they are less than forthcoming with a lot of information to keep the optics good. The rest of the country, the rest of the world, we were taking them at their word for it. They only had a few deaths. They only had a few cases. Okay, well, now we know that that was grossly underestimated, undertold, and unfortunately, a lot of countries waited until their own hospitals, their own ICU started filling up before implementing measures. I mean, you have to remember President Trump did the travel ban, what some people felt was way too early on. It was at the end of January.
January 29th.
You know, there were comments about him being racist and causing xenophobia. You had Nancy Pelosi walking around in Chinatown saying, come to Chinatown. You know, it's great. Come out. But that's the problem, right? Because they were so concerned about popular perception and they wanted to counter anything that Trump did. That was absolutely the wrong thing to do, tell people to come and gather and celebrate the Chinese New Year. And so though, because of things like that, we were very delayed in some of our countermeasures.
Well, and it seemed as though even though we had that debate here, we still somehow had a little bit of a leg up on places like Italy, in some other places in Europe that even responded even more slowly than we did. But so what is the World Health Organization basically arguing here that we just should have not taken China at their word and just immediately shut everything down? I mean, I think that would have in without a context of having been through a pandemic, I think, you know, everybody would have really rebelled against that and said, no, this is impossible. But is that what, in essence, they're arguing should have happened?
They will never actually say that China was less than forthcoming. What they did say was that global leadership was inconsistent and underfunded, which is a constant cry from any organization that's involved in politics. And so, of course, they're going to say it's underfunded. Give us more money, yeah. And I'm sure we can do better. I'm sure not. When you start listening to, when you take countries at their word for it and aren't challenging them, and you're essentially being a bystander, no, that's not actually going to be helpful in the future. Now, do I think that this was a wake-up call for the United States? Absolutely. You know, we have been fortunate enough that the last pandemics, the last SARS and MERS, they never really made their way to the United States. So therefore, we did not have that systemic memory that some of those, you know, small but mighty Taiwan and Singapore and other countries that have dealt with China and some of these pandemics. So I, at this point, hope that we are putting forth some new pandemic preparedness. I mean, it was under George W. Bush who put forth the influenza pandemic preparedness. But, you know, as some of our defense threats changed over the years, a lot of that went to the wayside.
Yeah. All right. We've got more to get to, friends. Should kids get vaccinated? And what's the latest on some of that and some of the just general stats of where we're at? Hi, Kevin McCullough. Have you heard? Michaels of Brooklyn. They went from 50% to 75%. They are now at 100% capacity. And by reservation, following all the CDC guidelines, they can ensure your safety and the health of their patrons and employees. And now's the time that you can get back to Michaels of Brooklyn and have some of that authentic Italian food. Celebrate Michaels of Brooklyn 100% capacity by joining the Sauce of the Month Club. You'll get a different jar of Michaels of Brooklyn pasta sauce, homemade pasta, and biscotti each month for about 6 months. Each month, month, receive exquisite sauces ranging from arrabbiata to puttanesca, and of course, their fresh marinara. They're family-owned and operated. It's authentic. Everything is made completely from scratch. Even the sauce that they sell in the grocery stores nationwide, they make it right there at Michael's of Brooklyn. Visit michaelsofbrooklyn.com. Join their Sauce of the Month Club. That's michaelsofbrooklyn.com or call 718-988-7851 for reservations. That's 718-988-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving the community since 1964.
Dear Cancer, if you think you're going to put my life on hold, think again. I did my homework and I found a cancer treatment option that requires no surgery, minimal downtime, and virtually no side effects. It's called proton therapy at ProCure Proton Therapy Center. Proton therapy targets cancer tumors more precisely than traditional radiation therapy, with less radiation to nearby healthy tissues. And thanks to ProCure, I don't have to travel far for treatment. Located in Somerset, ProCure is New Jersey's most experienced proton therapy center, offering the most advanced form of radiation with the most precise technology. That's right, Cancer. I still have the choice and energy to go on that hike with friends or spend a Saturday afternoon with my grandkids. I chose proton therapy at ProCure, and now my hope has been restored. I'm living my best life. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, visit ProCure.com or call 855-3-PROTON today.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Mike Gallagher is excited for the future.
People shelling out their hard-earned money and going to a movie to enjoy life again. Life is coming back. Summer camps are coming back. It truly does feel like America is emerging from the abyss. God is good, and this country is coming back.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekdays at 10 on AM 970. The Answer.
It's Dr. Lederman about innovative cancer treatment options often hidden elsewhere. Dr. Lederman discusses all options, what every doctor should do. Patients are amazed at Dr. Lederman's first in America radio surgery, Hidden Options. Non-invasive, outpatient, highly successful treatment where we attack the cancer. I'm Dr. Lederman for your loved one with cancer treatment options that may have been hidden from you when most needed. For newer recurrent cancers, most anywhere in the body, even if prior chemo, surgery, or radiation didn't work or isn't wanted, call Dr. Lederman, 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices for appointment and free cancer treatment booklet DVD. 1384 Broadway at 38th. Most insurances, Medicare, Medicaid accepted. Learn about hidden cancer treatment options. Hidden no more with Dr. Lederman. 2 and 2 choices, 2 and 2 choices.
Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough. Tonight at 7. And now, from New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
You know, one of the things that I cover in broadcast is wellness and helping you to have the information to make your life better on that front of the, you know, about half the time I talk about news and politics and the front page stuff. And the other half of the time we talk about practical life things. And there's been no more practical application in terms of subject matter over the last 2 years than the COVID virus and what's happened with it. And Dr. Nicole Sapphire has written what I believe will be the authoritative telling of what happened, not just with the virus, but how politics interfered with the process here in the United States. And she has rejoined us. And so glad to have you, Nicole, because we're on the verge of the book dropping. We've been talking about it for quite a while, and it's fun to see this day finally come about. Just before the break, I mentioned a couple of scenarios with children. And the thing that has tugged at the back of my mind through much of the last 18 months has been, are the children suffering worse than the adult population in how we've responded to it? Did politics play a role in how kids were treated during the pandemic? Do you talk about that in Panic Attack?
I mean, of course, absolutely. So, you know, I'm a mother of three, and I've watched this unfold from, you know, yes, a physician's eyes, but also a mother's eyes. My boys range from age 6 to 21. So I've seen, you know, very different behaviors amongst them. And I mean, there's so much to talk about. The initial shutdowns, pulling them out of school, to the prolonged keeping them out of school, to the insertion of the teachers' unions, to the continued mask wearing, to the wearing of masks outdoors. All of this is in the book. And yes, you would think that the teachers' union scandal just happened But no, did not just happen. It's been happening, and it's all in that book. When it comes to children right now, we have Fair Health data that has showed mental health, ER visits, suicide attempts, suicides, substance abuse, all up in children, and not just adolescents. I'm talking young children. This has been a detrimental to our young ones, and we are continuing it. The fact that children are still wearing masks outside, the warmer it gets, when we know at this point how little risk there is to children of COVID-19, how little transmission there is right now, and yet they are still being recommended to wear masks outdoors. That is the most anti-science and irresponsible thing that can be happening right now. And I think the biggest thing when we look back on all of this, we'll see that it was criminal behavior to the detriment of an entire generation. And I hope certain people are held accountable for their actions. I mention a lot of those people in the book.
Yeah, and I want people to get the book to read all of that. We saw that on a lot of different levels. You're talking about children there specifically, but of course in New York State, what happened with the nursing homes and the 45 days that the governor in that state specifically were putting vulnerable people at greater risk on purpose with no real prompting from anyone else. It was just his decision to do that. Did government, and I guess that's one of the things I'd like to know from your perspective, did your research show that the incentivization for, let's say, reimbursement for Medicare or Medicaid for nursing homes or for hospitals that took patients under certain conditions, did that contribute to some of the malfeasance that you identify?
Well, you know, I certainly talk about the different reimbursement rates for COVID-19. And I absolutely talk about the nursing homes. So, you know, again, anything and everything that caused damage or scandal, I dive into in there. And I can tell you that when it came to the nursing home issues, it was incredible the deception that occurred with some Democratic governors. And it wasn't just Governor Cuomo, although obviously he was the most popular one who had, said some things that were not wholly true. And are still not wholly true. But there were other governors as well. He was just the one highlighted. And yes, their actions led to a lot of vulnerable deaths. And, you know, to blame it on certain entities was wrong. The fact that he said the CDC recommended it, it's like, well, that's open to interpretation, but he's just manipulating certain things. But I can tell you that, you know, there was a lot of speculation in terms of the reimbursement because hospitals were getting paid more to have COVID patients. So people were questioning, were people falsely diagnosing COVID-19 so they can get paid more? And, you know, I can tell you there was some data that there was some incorrect billing occurring, but whether it was nefarious, you know, I would say that the data does not support that when it comes to just routine hospitalizations, not including the nursing home situation.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that, while that even still has yet to be settled in terms of the public space in New York State, I think that a lot of people's eyes were open to why we do that in the first place, why we reimburse hospitals on that level for what they are doing in such a way that it could be manipulated, because it should be, if we do incentivization or reimbursements, things should be done in a way in which the consumers are protected and not victimized. And it seemed to me, at least in some of the instances that I was aware of, that we just had a bad system in place, and that allowed politicians who may have had, you know, very nefarious motives or self-aggrandizing agendas to be able to exploit that for their own good,
But Kevin, it was bigger than that. Don't forget, policymakers started telling hospitals that they had to stop taking in patients. And because of that, the hospitals were not making their own revenue. And because of that, people actually died, not from
That's
COVID,
true.
But from things that could have been treated. So I'm telling you,
that for a second, because your specialty is cancer. And I know that from conversations with you that cancer screenings and treatments just fell off the cliff.
Of course. I mean, when it came to me, so for cancer screenings, they went down to almost zero for several months, which meant for a very busy end of summer and fall. But I could tell you that we started finding cancers that should have been detected earlier, but people were too afraid to come in. People were more afraid of COVID than cancer. And when that occurs, that means that we did a terrible disservice to people, because we made them more fearful and we did not give them a real clear idea of their risk from COVID-19. We're still not giving them that. The fact that children are wearing masks outdoors while playing tells us that we have done a terrible job at communicating real risk, because the risk to children of COVID-19 is exceedingly rare. Now, when I give a couple of examples, my husband being an endovascular neurosurgeon, he had a couple of devastating occurrences that occurred during the beginning, and not from COVID, but from the consequences of what happened when the hospital administrators and state legislators shut down elective cases. And I go through that in painful detail in the book.
Yeah. Oh, that's so hard. Friends, panic attack is the name of it, and it defines everything that Nicole has laid out, playing politics with science in the fight against COVID-19. Okay, so for our final few minutes together, Nicole, when we come back, here's what I'd like to focus on. Where are we now? And what's the outlook? And what are the best lessons we've learned from this to maybe not let the next virus become political, if we can at all fix it? Let's talk about that as we continue. It's Radio Night Live. Coming right back. Real estate is a tough business. If only there was a way to be one step ahead. Oh, wait, there is. Saturdays at 10 a.m., our very own Dottie Herman, CEO of Douglas Elliman, gives you the inside track to what is hot in real estate. Stay up to date with the latest trends and news in the tricky waters of real estate. Dottie even has the scoop on celebrity real estate. Doesn't matter if you're new to the game or a seasoned vet, you need to listen to Eye on Real Estate. Dottie and her team of experts will guide you as sellers and buyers to make sure you are getting the best value for your property. Whether you want to become a real estate agent or work within the business, there's no better person to learn from than the great Dottie Herman. Why? Because she's the best, period. Eye on Real Estate offers free advice to listeners live on the show. Dottie and her team have taken calls from all over the world, including England. Tune in to Eye on Real Estate Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer. Eye on Real Estate Saturdays at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
All across the nation, we are here for our communities.
We're doing our part to get supplies where it's needed in order to fight COVID-19 together.
It feels good to be out there to assist our community.
I would like our friends and family to know that your National Guardsmen are always ready and always there.
Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the New Jersey Army National Guard. Aired by the New Jersey Broadcasters Association and this station.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers, making buying decisions right now and for the future. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at surroundnewyork.com. SurroundNewYork.com, connecting you with new customers.
Want to listen to AM 970 The Answer on the go? There's an app for that. Download our free smartphone app so you can listen to all your favorite shows, keep up with us on social media, enter contests, win prizes, and even interact with our hosts, all in one place. Just search AM 970 The Answer in the iPhone App Store or the Google Play Store for the Android. Again, search AM 970 The Answer and download our smartphone app today. That way, you can take us wherever you go.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
Larry Elder is next on AM 970 The Answer.
Once again, from New York, here's Radio Night Live and Kevin McCullough.
All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to have you with us and thanking you for joining us each weeknight. Tomorrow night, of course, it's Legal Night with the esteemed Arthur Idala. And, you know, we're coming close to the mayoral primaries, and I know that he's close to Eric Adams. I have spent some time with both Curtis Sliwa and Mr. Mateo over on the Republican side. I've also hung out a little bit with some of the Democrats, but it'll be interesting. We'll get a feel for where the city is headed. as we take another step closer to that primary and talk about the biggest cases breaking in America. All right, Dr. S, you've got doctor's orders for us tonight. What's on the prescription tab?
If you remember my Wall Street Journal piece a couple of months ago, I officially declared Memorial Day weekend to be also known as the weekend for emascipation. And so I want people to move into this weekend and really take a step back and look in the rearview mirror as to what we've all been through for the last year and a half. And it's okay to acknowledge that everyone has struggled mentally, physically, economically for most people. But the emergency really is coming to an end, and there's a huge light at the end of the tunnel. And as more and more people continue to be vaccinated and we move into this beautiful summer where cases remain low, hospitalizations remain low, I want everyone to focus on getting from a perceived level of risk to reality and resume normal life. We don't have to stay into this perpetual state of lockdown and fear, despite the panic-inciting headlines. And as you keep seeing some about, you know, where did the virus come from? What's the origin? And anything and everything the media wants to make controversial, I can tell you that not a lot of it matters. Even if a big investigation happens right now with the origin of the virus, most of the evidence is going to be gone. So we can't sit and be stuck in the past. While yes, there does need to be people need to be held accountable. For us average Americans, that's not something that we should get worked up about. What I want people to start focusing on now that we enter into emascipation is bettering their lives, their family lives. And that means improving physical health, improving mental health, and just taking a little bit better care of yourself. We can all be doing a little bit better in terms of eating, physical activity, and sleeping. Make sure you're getting enough sleep.
That is some good stuff, Dr. Sapphire, and I appreciate that encouragement because you're right. We've come a long way, and I think that huge light at the end of the tunnel is really important, and we just need to keep moving in that direction. So thanks, as always, for carving out time, even for tonight, because I know that with the book out, you're busier than normal, and we're just grateful that you're with us all the time.
Absolutely. Love being on.
All right. Panic Attack. It's been on sale for about a week, but go get it because you need to know it. It needs to be in your collection of good reading for this summer, and you will be blown away at how much she has documented the playing politics had to do with how we came through this entire thing. But it'll also give you some great perspective. And tomorrow night, that signing, 6 p.m., premiercollectibles.com/sapphire. Don't miss it. Kevin McCullough, tomorrow night we will take a look at legal stuff. Arthur Idala, always a colorful chat. We will have some fun with him tomorrow. See you then.